This podcast is a service of South Canyon Baptist Church in Rapid City, South Dakota. For more information about our church, visit southcanyonbaptist.org.
Hello, South Canyon. Pastor Brent and Pastor Josh here. You know, this morning I was telling my wife, Bree, that we were going to record some podcasts, and I asked her, what do you think? And she goes, you guys should talk about what it looks like practically to have a discipling culture in a church. I was like, huh, my wife is wise. And
you knew
that's
that.
That's always a practical need. So let's spend some time just meditating on what that means to be a discipling church. So if the Great Commission tells us that we are to make disciples, and part of that discipling is baptizing, teaching, and obeying, and that we have a responsibility as a membership to not just do that individually, but to help one another do it. I think that's really a good definition, a good simple definition of discipleship is helping others follow Christ. So whatever that looks like, it's not a program, it's not a curriculum, it's, you know, the Word of God being applied to the person in the power of the Spirit of God, helping to follow Jesus. So whether that's sin or whether that's suffering or whether that's whatever it is that is making that a challenge, we help them through that, we help them over that. So that means that we're involved in each other's lives, we're linking arms together, and we're helping one another love Jesus more and obey him more. And anything you would add to that definition of discipling?
No, I mean, I would even add, as we've talked about a little bit before, the pre-baptism discipleship. I think that is another thing that we want every member to be a part of, you know, helping people who don't know Christ to come to know him, to teach them the gospel and what it means to know and follow Christ and in a preliminary way so that they are understanding of the gospel and can make a decision and trust in Christ and follow him. Yeah. So, yeah, the whole thing, I think, is what we want to encourage all of our members to do.
Yeah. Yeah, baptizing, meaning visibly identified with Jesus. Mm-hmm. Teaching, meaning learning. You know, we do need to know doctrine. And we need to understand the Word of God and the will of God and from the Scriptures. And then obeying. We are to bring our lives more and more into conformity with what Jesus. I think that's a good summary of just what the basics of discipleship are. Identification, identification, teaching, and obedience. That covers it pretty well right there. Jesus knew what he was talking about. Go figure. Yeah. So what does that then look like practically?
I think what it means is
in a congregation
that people who are a part of a congregation attempt to learn the things that you need to know to be able to share the gospel with someone who's not a believer and to be able to help a person who is a believer grow in their faith. So it looks like, I guess, first step is obviously we're learning. Mm-hmm. We never stop learning, no matter how long we've been a Christian, no matter how mature we may be in Christ, we continue to learn ourselves. But there's a sense in which you have to learn to some extent certain things because you have to then turn around. And that's what a discipling culture looks like, is as you are being discipled, as you are learning, you are turning around and helping others be discipled or disciple others, helping them learn the things you've learned. Mm-hmm. You're passing along the things that you've learned, and in that way you're being instrumental in someone else's process of growth. So I think, first of all, it means, obviously, that we are established and that we are continuing to be equipped in the faith through the pastors, through the leaders, through the teachers in the congregation. So we are availing ourselves of opportunities to be discipled ourselves and to continue growing in our faith. So I think, number one, it looks like we are growing and we are continuing to grow in our faith, not only in our knowledge, as important as that is, but also in our conformity to Christ in terms of our attitudes and our actions. Because discipling others is giving them truth, but also showing them what it looks like in flesh and blood and in parenting and in marriage and so forth. So I would say that's number one.
Yeah. Well, we have someone working on our roof right now, so I don't know if the recording will pick this up. But if you hear some weird sounds in the background, we've got someone working on a heat register. But we'll just continue the conversation. But Paul says, what I received from the Lord, I also passed on to you. So it is a little bit of like, when I'm learning about Christ or the obedience that I'm having, I am intended to share that, and it sticks best, I think, and I think you've got a passage that kind of develops on that. But I've been meditating a lot on 2 Corinthians 1 when it says, the God of all comfort who comforts us in all our affliction, that we might be able to comfort those in any affliction. which is basically saying that any difficulties I face or challenges I face, I think we can extend it beyond suffering and comfort to, I think, all of discipleship. But my following of Jesus in every area of life, God, it will be sufficient to see me through those things, to teach me things. But it doesn't stop with me. What I've received from the Lord, I pass on to you, I think was Paul's principle. And he's like, I'm giving you what I've received from Jesus. And I think in discipleship, sometimes we kind of tend to think, what's new for me? It's like, well, it's not what's new for me. That's true, but that falls way short of what discipleship and what being a disciple ultimately will be about, is that the things that I'm learning, I'm wanting to share with someone else. I'm wanting to fast track their discipleship by also sharing in my whatever it is, my sin struggle or my suffering or the challenge I'm having at work or my attempts to share my faith and failing or sharing my faith and being successful. Like, I can fast track other people's discipleship to where now they don't have to try to have every experience in the world in order to learn. They can learn because I've got a whole brotherhood of people, and I can learn and be prepared to walk in Christ. So, and I'm just struck by that verse that that I don't necessarily have to be in the exact same shoes as the other person to be of help to them. I think we sometimes cut ourselves off from being discipled or comforted by thinking, well, you haven't been through what I've exactly been through. According to 2 Corinthians 1, God comforts us in all our afflictions, and then that equips us to comfort somebody in any affliction. So don't cut yourself off from somebody just because you don't think that they're at the same place than you. Actually, someone much younger in the faith than you can be greatly encouraging to you, going, man, their zeal for the lost far exceeds mine. And they've been a Christian a month, and I've been a Christian for 25 years, you know. So it's amazing how every believer is equipped to be able to share something of help with another believer. And we need to both have the humility and courage to share what God's doing with us, and also the humility to be able to receive, even if it feels like there can't be any superiority in discipleship, if that makes sense.
Yeah. So. Yeah. And what you said about Paul saying, I've passed on to you what I've received, he says something similar in 2 Timothy 2, where he says to Timothy, and what you have heard from me, same as you said, in the presence of many witnesses, entrust to faithful men who will be able to teach others. So we see the generations, so to speak, here. Paul teaches Timothy, and now Timothy is to turn and teach others who are then to teach others what has been taught to them. So that's how discipleship looks in the church. It's people teaching people who then turn around and teach other people who then turn around and teach and disciple other people. And so the church then grows by multiplication and not just by addition, because a few people are doing all of the discipling and all of the witnessing and all of the teaching.
Yep.
It's to be done by all. All that we receive, we need to give.
Yeah, and I've heard the illustration too, just like in the physical nation of Israel, you've got the Sea of Galilee, which has a lot of the waters kind of flooding into it, but then the water flows out of it. It's teeming with life because water both comes in and goes out. It's teeming with fish. It's a great place to live. It's a great place to fish. Just the water is teeming with life because it both has an inflow and an outflow. But then that river, the Jordan River, flows into the Dead Sea, and there's no outflow. All the Dead Sea does is intake, never outtakes. And so what happens is the water has stagnated. There's no life at all in the Dead Sea. No fish can live in there because it's all intake, and it's just become stagnant. And when the water comes in and has nowhere else to go, that actually becomes inhabitable for life. And I think in discipleship, that's true. We take in these truths of God's word or these experiences, but if it stops with us, there'll be no life there.
Yeah.
It's when it's passed on and then that life-giving water flows not just to us, but through us, that's when we really have a flourishing life, is when someone else is growing because of our experience and our influence. So don't be a Dead Sea, be a Sea of Galilee. Be teeming with life because you're giving all the time what you're receiving. And a Dead Sea only just receives and then sits there, and eventually there's no life there.
And I think there's something similar to what you just said by way of illustration in Hebrews chapter 5, where the writer of Hebrews says to the recipients of Hebrews about this, what he's just been talking about, something he's been talking about up to this point, about this we have much to say, and it is hard to explain, but he says why it's hard to explain, since you have become dull of hearing. And so it's possible for believers, professing believers, to become dull of hearing. And then the next verse he says, why? For, that is, this is why you're dull of hearing, though by this time you ought to be teachers, you need someone to teach you again the basic principles of the oracle of God. You need milk, not solid food. And so he says there something that I think is pretty important. By now you ought to be teachers. After a certain period of time, a person who's professed faith in Christ ought to be teaching.
Yeah.
And they ought to be teaching those first basic principles, he refers to them here, the basic principles of the oracles of God. You should be taught the basic principles of the oracles of God in your early days as a believer, and then you should turn around and teach it. It doesn't just say you should understand them, but you should be teachers.
Yeah.
Every believer should become a teacher. Now, maybe obviously not up as a pastor or maybe even teaching a class or a seminar,
no.
But we ought to all be teachers in the sense that we are teaching what we've been taught. We are a Sea of Galilee. We've received, it's flowed into us, and now we give it. We pass it along to others. And he says, really, that's the reason you're dull of hearing. And I think one of the major reasons people who are in church become sort of bored and don't hear and understand and follow what's being taught or preached well is because they're not taking what they already have been taught and teaching it to others.
Mm-hmm.
And when you don't take the basic principles that you should be teaching by now and teach them to others, he says you have need now for someone to teach you again. So they've already been taught these basic principles. But he says you need to have them, you need to be taught again what you've already been taught. And the reason is because you've not taken it and taught someone else.
Right.
So one of the most important things for us to keep growing is for us to begin teaching.
Yeah.
Again, it may not be in a large setting, but we need to be across a table in a coffee shop sharing with someone else and teaching someone else what we have been learning and are learning so that we don't have to be taught that again because we don't, in a sense, retain it if we don't teach it, if we don't pass it along.
Right, yeah. Or over the coffee table with our kids or whatever. Like all spheres of life. Yeah, it's kind of like if we don't give it away, we'll lose it. Mm-hmm. I mean,
use it or lose it, so to speak.
Exactly.
In terms of teaching.
Yeah. And that's true. And that seems to very much be what he's talking about there. Like, you think you've learned it, but if it hasn't passed to somebody else, you've not learned it.
Mm-hmm.
And so we've had, I've had different times, like in student ministry or different areas where I've taught, going, man, you keep teaching the same thing. And it's like because it keeps stopping with you. Like you don't get it yet because it's not. It hasn't actually, it's in your head intellectually, but it's not in your heart, it's not in your hands, it's not in your mouth. It's not coming out of you in any way, so you need to hear it again. And there was one professor I had in Bible college that just kept teaching this, this one point because he just knew the students weren't getting it yet. It's like, well, mm-hmm. we could answer answers on a test, but he's like, no, you're not getting it yet.
Mm-hmm.
We were getting so frustrated with him, a lot of us. I was less frustrated, but some were frustrated because it was all about the head, and he's like, no. It doesn't do us any good to have this in your head if it doesn't work itself out in your life. So we're going to stay here because there's no point in moving on if there's, So I think his point was well taken, that is how that works. So how does that work out practically? I'm just going to throw out a few things. I think that when it comes to our Sunday gatherings, I think it means coming, having been prepared. You're not just going to come and attend a worship service and sermon, but you're preparing to meet with people.
Mm-hmm.
So for us, part of our discipling and making sure that we have a full tank emotionally, physically, to disciple on Sunday mornings in whatever ways that we can is that we don't make a lot of commitments on Saturday nights because Sunday morning is such a high priority. That's not just because I'm a pastor. In fact, we did that when we were on sabbatical. Because, we would show up early, we would show up. I actually greeted a lot of guests while we were on sabbatical. Not because I'm a pastor, but because I'm a Christian.
Mm-hmm.
And it's like I want to, I because of Jesus, have a love for people, and I want to give them what I have.
Mm-hmm.
I want them to feel at home. I want them to engage. I want them to grow today. And that's my responsibility as a Christian. And I want my kids to understand that too. So we don't take a lot of commitments on Saturday night because we want our kids at their freshest.
Mm-hmm.
And then on that drive to church, it's not about whether we get what we want out of the service, but going, hey, who did you encourage today? And kids, who are you going to play with today? And is there someone you want to sit by today? Or so on a Sunday morning, that's important. I think the way we sing our song, I am so encouraged when I look out. It helps me grow in Christ when I see others singing passionately.
Mm-hmm.
I don't want that to be like showy.
Mm-hmm.
But there is, like, some people, it's like, boy, they are not very encouraging to witness in their singing,
mm-hmm.
Because it's just like Jesus is, you don't want to judge the heart based on the outward appearance. But you can be a great encouragement to someone else's growth in Jesus by singing with joy. Mm-hmm. Whatever that looks like for you, singing with real joy and affection for Jesus.
Yeah.
I think the way that you sit and listen to a sermon has an effect on your kids sitting next to you or the person across the room of going, boy, they really are, if their Bible open and they're active.
Mm-hmm.
And they love the truths that they're hearing, and they feel the conviction that comes, you know. And they, mm-hmm. you know, that certainly helps a preacher for sure,
mm-hmm.
when people are engaged in the message. So those are just a few things that come quickly to mind. Is that praying for people in the lobby, praying for. So we're talking about Sunday gathering primarily here. There's a lot of places, but
yeah.
What else would you kind of add practically?
Well, and I would just, you mentioned it there at the end. I was just going to say one of the things that we can do is when people tell us of something that's going on or something that's they're struggling with, rather than just saying, I will pray for you, which we often do and don't, later do sometimes if we're not really intentional. But I think it'd be great for our people to get in the habit of saying, can I just pause right here and pray for you
Absolutely.
About that? And just do that. I'd love to walk down the hall and see two people praying or three people
And they're
kind of
blocking traffic even.
I mean, what a great way to block the hall. I mean, you know? And then in the foyer to have several, you know, not for show, again, like you're saying, not so it looks good. But I mean, because people really are opening up, and then people are caring enough to really say, I care and I want
to
pray for you. Let's do this right now. So I think that's a great way to do that. And just listening for opportunities in the conversations that you have on Sunday morning to encourage one another, to share a little bit, not a preachy in a preachy way, but to share a little bit of what you've learned maybe in the last week or that's happened that, you know, that's something that you're thankful for, an evidence of grace that you've seen
mm-hmm.
in, you know, people around you, or even how God has been good to you and how he's helped you and strengthened you in some way. Or, you know, that you had this situation that was really painful, but God gave you grace and you really were able to not become discouraged, you know, or to stay discouraged, but he helped you to overcome. You know, just sharing from our hearts truth and how God has worked in our lives is another way on Sunday morning that we can be involved in discipling, encouraging, establishing one another in the faith and encouraging each other in the faith.
And I would encourage you to consider leveraging the sermon, too, that, you know, one thing that's encouraging for us as pastors, I'll throw that in there, is people will come up and say, hey, good sermon today. And I appreciate that. But to go, hey, this part really helped me, or this part really convicted me, that helps my discipleship.
Yeah.
And then if you would not just share that with your with pastors, but share that at lunch, go, hey, that was a good sermon. But on the drive home, talk with your kids, talk with your spouse, and go, man, that second point just really got me thinking about X. Mm-hmm. Or so-and-so, you know, I have to admit that I am guilty of this, or I was so encouraged by this. And so just leverage that sermon. And what we've done is we've redesigned the children's bulletins to where kids can write down things and draw pictures based on what they've heard in the message. And that's kind of an amazing thing. It's worked even better than I had hoped. But it's got on there a place where a kid can write down words they've heard they don't understand. And we've actually had a few times in conversations on the drive home where, you know, like I think it recently came up going, what does atonement mean? And we just had a nice little conversation that atonement means, you know, that we've had the what has broken our fellowship with God has been dealt with. The debt has been paid. We're made at one again with God. So that's just a good example of, like, leverage that. I also would say use your Sunday lunches strategically and look for people that you could take to lunch and then leverage the sermon. What is it? What was one thing you heard today that encouraged you? Well-placed questions are a great, that is such an underutilized thing is in discipleship, is just a well-intentioned, well-formed question. If you just had three or four of those, like if you invited someone to coffee or lunch, and just had three or four well-thought-out questions based on recent events, either in the church or things they've heard in a message or a life group or whatever it is, you probably won't have to say another word, because they'll then get a chance to share the truths that they've been wrestling with. And just hearing themselves tell those truths will encourage their own hearts.
Mm-hmm.
And just you listening, be quick to listen, slow to speak, and slow to anger. Discipleship can be really simple in that regard. If you would just, as you're listening to the message, think of one or two or three things that really were a highlight for you that you want to share. And maybe think of two or three questions you might ask someone else what they thought of the sermon.
Mm-hmm.
And then think about that going into your life group. I'm going to have these three things that I'm going to share that were really personal to me. And I've got one or two questions, not necessarily trying to understand the text, but just understanding how people are interacting with the text. Mm-hmm. But if you just did that, I think you would go to like a level 9 or 10 discipler just by strategically thinking through what is a truth I can pass on to someone else and what is a question I can ask that would draw their heart.
Yeah.
And I think you're well on. And then pray. Just pray publicly for them. Pray for them in the coffee shop. Pray for them on the drive home. Pray for them at the church. Text them. Tell them that, hey, I'm praying for you today, or how can I pray for you today? Just super simple. Mm-hmm. Sharing God's word, asking questions that people can share their heart with you, and then praying. Boy, yeah. I think you would be maybe one of the most effective disciplers in our church just by simply actively coming up with a plan for those.
Yeah, and then beyond the gathering, I think another way that we would love to see members engage with others in terms of disciple making is, you know, inviting people to lunch, inviting people to coffee. One man with another man over coffee or over lunch, you know, meeting and talking about life and encouraging another person. What it looks like for me most often is meeting with another male and typically kind of reading through something together and discussing it and thinking about how it applies to their life. And the two books that I've used most often are What is the Gospel by Greg Gilbert. I think that's helpful for a believer to think through, but I think it's also obviously very helpful if there's someone who maybe is new or that I'm not sure where they are spiritually. We read through that together, and it's a great way to share the gospel, to make more disciples. And then Basic Christianity by John Stott is a book I use, which can be used on either side of the discipling spectrum. It can be, it helps people who are not believers understand what they need to understand to become a believer, but it also helps believers understand the basics of Christian life, which you really never move beyond. I remember Vince Lombardi, someone said, you know, was showing NFL players certain basic things about a football stance and so forth that obviously they had been taught all their life, but he was just saying, you know,
first day was always, this is a football.
Yeah, that's right. The fundamentals are so important, and that's the same thing with the Christian life. And to me, Basic Christianity is just such a great way to help people think about the basics that we really never move beyond spiritually. And a way to, you know, and it doesn't have to be something like that, but I think some people who have not discipled, and even people who have, like to have something they can, you know, look at and go by that will help them discuss things and bring things up and talk through things and understand things with someone else in a way that helps them grow as well as yourself.
Yeah, so just think of your Sunday mornings way more strategically, you know. Keep your Sunday lunches open, invite people to coffee, use a well-placed text message. Look out among the people even within the church or outside the church. It, you know, this extends beyond the church. Mm-hmm. We do have a responsibility to those in the church, but you know, look for those who here has just recently had a baby. I could take a meal to and write an encouraging note to them. Mm-hmm. We could get creative here in terms of how do we encourage them in their walk with Jesus. So get creative, make a list of a handful of people that God has placed on your heart. Try to find some way to do that. Invite someone if you love to read a book, or maybe you feel challenged to read a book. We certainly would have some, like you just recommended a couple, that people could just read together and think about together. So you don't have to be some master theologian to be a good discipler. Just share how you're growing, ask people how they're growing, and pray for them.
And do something together with them, like read a book or
learn
whatever.
Together.
Like, study the Bible together.
Yeah,
you know?
Yeah. So... hopefully that helps. Talk with your husband or wife or who, you know, and even with your kids. Your kids may have some really fun ideas on how they can invite kids from the neighborhood over, or, you know, now that you're hosting a life group, how they can be a part of helping other kids, you know, learn to follow Jesus. The possibilities are endless, and discipleship can be tailored to any person's personality or skill set or experiences. It's not just teaching a formal class on a Sunday morning. It's kind of all of life and helping people grow. So get creative, have some fun, try some things, and God will use it. It'll be amazing.
This podcast has been a service of South Canyon Baptist Church. Thank you for joining us today. We hope that this production has been an encouragement to you. May God bless you.